Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you wonderful people this evening? Tonight's topic, as you know, is creating money. And I'm always interested when I do a talk on money to look around and see the people who show up. And to also note the people that do not show up. I will say this many times to you. Your mind will always keep you from learning what you need to know. You have to watch that. And I see people missing here that have told me that they desperately need money, and they are absent. So you have to watch what you're doing to your own self. Fine. Back again.
Speak of the devil.
All right, I want to ask. Last week you learned a new tool. Have you been using it?
Yes.
And for the people who don't know the new tool, do you remember we are always doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me?
Yes. Yes.
And we're adding to that.
Oh, yeah.
Dallas, I love you. Now you use your name. You may use my name if you wish. But you use your own name. And you do that 10 times in the morning and 10 times at night. Until finally that voice, you will hear the voice. It will say, Dallas. And you'll go, what? And it'll say, I love you. To create money, one must learn to love themselves. To create anything, one must learn to love themselves. For years you've heard love is the answer, but you've placed that love always outside of your own self. You've always tried to love something or somebody. You must start with yourself. Life is an inside job. It starts on the inside and moves outward. So learn to love yourselves. Is there anyone here, when they say that their mind denies it? Good. Anytime your mind denies anything, you must work with that until you get the right answer. Wesley is here tonight, and Wesley loves a little thing that I talked about, and it is from Mary Baker Eddy. And Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, said, you must argue with your mind the way a lawyer argues in front of a judge, and you must make sure that you always win. You must make sure that you always win. The mind loves to talk you out of things. It loves to tell you that you can't do something. When I'm talking about the mind here, I'm talking about that ego part of the mind. The rest of your mind is what? It's a power brain that you have, and you're using that. This week, has anyone noticed their own mind, their own brain, and has anyone thanked their own brain? Has it not figured out something for you? When it figures something out, don't you say thank you? If another person did that, you would thank them. If your brain figures something out for you, thank it. I thank my brain many times during the day. I will give you some examples. When I'm leaving the house, do I have everything with me? I get to the door and sometimes I'm out in the hallway. And my mind says, you forgot this, this, and this. I say, thank you very much. And I go back in and get those things. You have to rely on your mind. You have to know that your mind is working for you all the time. And that it's able to do these things. I will tell you a quick other example. Last Saturday, I had to go to Garden Grove. I didn't have to, but I went to a seminar. And on the way back, I thought, I was having Andy over to look at my computer. And I promised him I would make brunch or breakfast or something for him. And I thought, well, on the way back, I'll stop at Trader Joe's, pick up the stuff, no problem. But it was raining. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic. It took me hours to get back home. And I said to myself, I'm too tired to go to Trader Joe's. You'll have to figure this out for me. When I got up in the morning, I thought, I also said to myself, I could go to Trader Joe's, get up in the morning and go to Trader Joe's. But I got up in the morning and said, I don't want to go to Trader Joe's. What can I fix? And my mind immediately started to tell me what I had in the inventory of my pantry, what to fix, how to do it, what to add to it. And I did not have to go to Trader Joe's, and it was a wonderful brunch, wasn't it?
It's wonderful. Amazing cook.
And I let my mind do that for me. I let my mind do that. This is the way you use your mind. Why? Because your mind is there to use. It's yours. Just like your computer is yours and you use it and make it do things, you have to know that your mind is yours to use. Most people think that their mind is just running all over the place, or they allow their mind to run all over the place. Don't do that. Stay focused. Know what you want. And make your mind figure it out for you. And it will do that. So while my mind was figuring all that out, I was busy doing other things and living my life. But I knew perfectly well that it would do that for me. I knew perfectly well that it would do that for me. This is what you need to know. And there she is. Good evening. So, anyway, with that said, please use that I love you, and please thank your mind, your brain, for doing things for you. You see, in fact, I thank every part of my body for doing anything that it's doing for me. You see, I think it's wonderful, you know, that all the cells in my body are working perfectly, and I thank them for that. Each and every little cell in your body is a life of its own. You know. So you have to say, thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for propping me up. You know. It's done with thanksgiving. It's done with a thankful heart. And it's done with love for yourself and all the parts that make up you. Because we know what? It's unity. If we have unity everywhere, we have to have unity in our body. So think about that, and let all the parts of your body work together for you. And thank them for doing that. you know. Thank them for doing that. Okay? All right. With that said, I will do a spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, I'm just doing prayer. It's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe already knows about us, or what this thing God already knows about us. And it's always an affirmative prayer. I'll do this in the first person. And all those that are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am one with the abundance of the universe. And because I am one with the abundance of the universe, I see abundance everywhere. I am able to create abundance. I am able to create prosperity. And I am certainly able to create money. And this is what I do right here and right now. I open myself to the abundance of the universe. I open myself to every channel there is available to bring money to me right here and right now. And I let that be so, and so it is. I passed out this. I did this once before, and some of you may have it, some of you may not. But for tonight, since we're going to talk about creating money, you can use this. Now here again, change it. You'll notice down here it says Lord. And who are we talking with who wanted Niagara Falls?
Well, we were all at the table.
Yeah, but who said... Me?
Oh, Manon,
yes. I knew somebody. Well, see, Lord, let the rain of blessings fall. Now, you know, when we say Lord, you can change that. If that offends you in any way, just change it to law. The law of cause and effect. Lord and law are one and the same things. Metaphysically, we just change that to the law of cause and effect. But use these and do your different affirmations. How many people are still doing affirmations for money? Good. You're doing your money. Affirmations absolutely work if you work them. And they have to resonate within you. If anyone has an affirmation they're doing and it's not working, it's because it's not resonating in you and it's not, you have not made it yours. Change anything you want always and make it yours so that you feel comfortable with it and so that it does something inside of you when you say it. This is when the mind comes in, because when you do an affirmation, you can do an affirmation and say, I am a rich person. That's an affirmation. Your mind may say, oh no, you're not. You're not rich. Now what do?
Argue.
We have to argue with that. We have to argue with that. As soon as a negation comes into your mind, you have to get it out of there. You have to convince your own self that you are rich. And you don't judge by appearances. You make yourself rich. You become rich. By doing that. Years ago, they called it faking it till you make it. Mm-hmm. But it will work for you. But only when you are able to control your thinking. When you're able to get rid of the negation. And when you're able not to look at the appearance. The appearance may be that you only have a few dollars in your checking account. That's an appearance, and that's a fact. The truth of the matter is, you are a rich person. You are a child of the universe. You have abundance everywhere. Prosperity is always coming to you. That is truth. Facts change. Truth always remains the same. You are always whole, complete, and perfect. You can be no other way. The mind will tell you differently. Do not listen to that. You have to argue with it. And you have to do that. No one can do those things for you. You have to do it. I can give you all this information, but you have to do something with it. And you have to take it, make it yours, and control your thinking, control your mind, and never, never, never give up. Never give up. Is it too warm in here? Everyone's fanning. I'm going to ask Lisa to tell her story again. For many weeks we heard Lisa, I'm doing this now for all those people in cyberspace out there. For weeks, Lisa held on to something, would not let it go, was angry, and she wanted a new vehicle because somebody wrecked her old vehicle. And she came up with every excuse in the book. And I told her constantly to give up that idea and she would get a new vehicle. But everyone said, no, you won't. Her lawyer said, no, you'll never get a new vehicle. This won't happen, that won't happen. Please, Lisa, tell them what happened.
I have a brand new 2006 LR3. And it's gorgeous. And when I just let go, it all happened. It just, the man from Land Rover called me up and said, I want to make this right for you, and you come on over. And we sat down, and they said, go out on the lot and pick whichever one you want. I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, just go get whatever one you want. So I did. And it just, there's a lot of lessons in this whole accident for me. And just letting go is the biggest one. You know, I learned I'm pretty much a control freak, and I have to head up. Because it happens, like Dallas says, you know, you don't have to know how it's going to happen. You just have to believe and stand in faith and know that it's going to happen. You are the fun and entertainment, and God is the ways and the means.
Yes.
And I would have never in a million years ever thought that this would come about through Land Rover Benzino. You know, and it happened.
Because you gave up the story.
Yep, I gave up the story.
You stopped telling the story.
Yeah.
And you checked out, how am I feeling about this?
Right.
And then you loved it, blessed it, released it.
Right.
And they called you on the telephone and they said, your vehicle is waiting for you.
Right.
This is the way it's done. Do not be so convinced with your story. It's just a story. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. We want to go behind that story and find out, what am I feeling? Am I feeling unworthy? Am I feeling undeserving? Am I feeling unlovable? And when you find out the answer, you change that. The life of the organism is feelings. And we're dealing with feelings. The outside world deals in stories, and you hear them just constantly. And as long as you're telling your story, your life is not going to change because you're living that story. Mm-hmm. You're living mm-hmm. that story. But how are you feeling? As soon as you can find out what you're feeling and change that feeling, your whole reality will change. And you will be able to have what you want, even when authority figures, like a lawyer said, it's never going to happen. Do not listen to that. Who remembers that sign from Hebrew National?
We answer to a higher authority.
Yeah.
Remember the hot dog, Hebrew National? And their thing, they listen to a higher authority. Listen to a higher authority. Don't stop with a lawyer. You know? If you're taking this course or whatever this study will say, then take it up to where it's supposed to go. Raise your consciousness up to a higher level. And then that will start manifesting for you. It will start manifesting for you. How many people here are treating for money? Oh. Are you getting it?
Mm-hmm.
Treat for ideas for money. Treat for the idea. And open your mind to new ideas of how to make money. We cannot live in a prosperous, supportive universe and think that we're not going to be supported. You're saying? You have to put your belief into action. You know, it's nice to say all these things. It's nice to hear all these things. But let them work for you. Make them work for you. Make them work for you. So how do we create money? You know, there's a difference between creating money and making money. Hmm. Anyone can go out and make money. You just get a job and you're making money. But how are you going to create money? How are you going to create money? And you're going to create money that doesn't exist. Until you create money, it doesn't exist. It's not sitting someplace waiting for you. But you're going to create it. You're going to create it with your ideas. And you're going to know that this brain of yours can figure that out for you. Because you cannot say that you live, move, and have your being in the mind of God and then say, I don't have any ideas. Well, I never get an idea. Other people get ideas, but I don't get ideas. Now, can you see how ridiculous that is? So you have to remind yourself of that. Well, I'm hooked up with the biggest brain in the world. I'm hooked up with the biggest brain in the universe. And I can use that. And I can use that. How many people have a little slow computer? You know, it doesn't work too fast. But if you want to really get something done, you go to a bigger computer, don't you? A faster computer? Well, now you can go to the great big computer in the sky. Just go there and get ideas. I know this sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's absolutely true. That's how you do it. You have to use your mind, and you have to know that you have a good mind. You have a power brain, you have a power mind, and that it's hooked up to the big mind. And tell yourself that during the day. I'm hooked up, you see. I'm getting ideas. I know that you're creative. And that creativity comes through you. Anybody can be creative. Anybody can have talent. But you have to know that. And you have to bring it out through you. So making money and creating money is no big deal. But everyone makes it a big deal. because the world says it's a big deal. And once you start to make money, you'll make even more money, and you realize, well, this is no big deal. You can always be interested in money. You can always have money coming to you. But eventually you'll find out that that's not what it's all about, the money. That's why we use the expression, money is never the issue. If you want something, you don't have to do it by working for money. Things come to you all of different ways. Jeff once wanted a piano, and he manifested the money for it, didn't you? And you got the piano.
I remember that. I've been a long time.
But I have a wonderful mind because I'm plugged into the big mind. And I very seldom forget anything. And I make that an affirmation. I have a good mind. I have a good memory. And I remember things. So that was one way to do it. He wanted the piano, he made the money, he got the piano. There are other ways to do it. You see, he could have sat down, he could have done treatment work, he could have done and somebody. We're delivering a piano to you. Who gave it to me? Well, I don't know. But here's your piano. You don't have to always do it the way the world does it. You don't have to do that. How many people remember that I found that rug in the dumpster? Mm-hmm. That's abundance. That's prosperity. For the people who don't know the rug story, I found it in the dumpster, and I took it and had it cleaned, and the man said to me, "This is a very good rug." And I said, "How much do you think this rug is worth?" And he said to me, "I will give you $2,500 for it." Mm-hmm. I said, "I'm keeping it until it goes up in price." So you can find abundance and prosperity any place, and you can find money any place. How many people here pick up money on the street? Good. I always pick it up and I say thank you. And I love pennies because I pick pennies up and I sing pennies from heaven. And I affirm that. How many people still have the little red envelopes? My red envelope is too big. Too big. I have a little chest now I keep things in. I'm saving $1 bills. And I have a stack about, I don't know, I must count them. They're at least, it's that high, the stack. And I don't know where that, well, I do know where it comes from. I mean, I put it in there, but I forget that it's in there. But I never miss that. You know, you don't miss a dollar. Every time you have money in your wallet, Andy's the one that knows the red envelope, how to do it. And you just put that money away because you can live without $3. You see. But people think, oh no, I have $3, I'm gonna spend it. I'm gonna go down to Pete's and get a cup of coffee with my last $3. So I can come to class and tell them I have no money. Learn to do that. All right, we're gonna talk about some five different things for money. One thing is pray before you pay. Mm-hmm. Pray before you pay. If you want something, pray about it. I'm trying to remember, but I think I can do that. I think it's mentioned 20 times in the Bible, ask. How many people ask for money? How many people ask for what they want? Learn to ask. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Pray before you pay for something. If you see something you want, start praying for it, and the money will come. You may not have prayed for the piano, but you did something, and the money, you made the money to pay for it. So you pray that you'll have the money. You'll pray for a channel to open up to bring that money to you so that you can have what you want. Your finances should never be separated from your prayers, from this thing we call God. Remember, you can't have God and money. You can have God as money. Why is that, Christine?
Unity.
Yes, it's unity. There's no separation in that. So look at your money as God. Look at it as something from the universe. Abundance and prosperity from the universe. And learn to get more value out of your money. Learn to get more value out of your money. You are the one that must decide what the value is. Not the store. You see, you decide that. Okay? How many people are upset right now with the price of gasoline? To worry about the price of gasoline is absolutely ridiculous. Either you have the money to buy it or you don't have the money to buy it. But if you worry about it, you're not going to have the money. Now, I'm going to tell you how I do this. I have no idea what the cost of gas is, by the way, because that's one of the things. I will not talk about the price of gas. I will not talk how much mileage I get on my tires and all the other little things that seem to be so important for people in this world. You know, I have no idea about any of those things. Because I have very little idea about my car itself, you know, except I know that it'll work for me every time I want it to work. And I do take good care of it, and I appreciate that car. So when I put gas in that car, I say, I get more and more miles per gallon. Why do I do that? Because it's not only the truth. My car happens to be an extension of my consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's an extension of me. It is not separate.
Thank you.
So I don't buy into that thing. I get, how many, what are you supposed to get for in a car? Miles, I don't know. 30 miles a gallon. So you see that, and you hear again, you love, bless, and release that price of gasoline. And you don't say some raghead living in a desert is making all the money. You just love it, bless it, and release it. But people get all upset over that. Oh, look at that. They're making all that money now. Don't do that to yourself. If you want money to come into your life, you certainly can't get stuck on the price of gas. Can you see that? You can't get stuck there. Now, you also don't go to the most expensive gas station You know, you have to use your wisdom always with this, you know. Always keep a Neiman Marcus consciousness, even when you're shopping at Walmart. Hmm. You know, you have to do that for yourself. So learn to pray before you pay for things. And learn to see your money as an extension of you, as an extension of God, as an extension of the universe, and that you're very appreciative of that money. And more money will come to you. Just be thankful. Open that up. The next one is, make a plan on how to spend. And then don't bend. Make a plan and don't bend. How many people here have a plan? It doesn't have to be a big plan. It doesn't have to be a budget. It doesn't have to be down to the very penny. But you have to have some type of an idea so that you know where your money is and what you're going to do with that money. Otherwise, it just goes right out, you know. Yes?
Go into the plan. I mean, if all your money is going it's going for your expenses like gas, you know, food, you know, and the necessities, what's your plan?
Now, I love that word, necessities, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what Frank Lloyd Wright said. Frank Lloyd Wright said, "Give me the luxuries and I can do without the necessities." You always, you see how, what you, the story you're telling? That all your money goes out for expenses. Does everything go out?
It has lately. I mean, I'm not trying. You know.
There must be.
Still, I'm scared to say anything. I know you don't.
Surely you can save a dollar.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right, then. All your money is not going out. Okay. And that's why, you know, pennies build into dollars. People walk over that. Dollars add up to other things. But most people say, well, when I make enough money, I'll start to save. You know, you'll never make enough money to start to save. You have to save now. It's called paying yourself. You pay everybody else, but not yourself. Now, why do you think that is?
No, I'm scared to say that, but I mean, I feel like you owe everyone. I mean, I better be quiet. But this is a big issue for me, too.
I know. Usually, when you don't pay yourself, you don't think you deserve to be paid. So you're paying everybody else, and they know they get it, and they deserve it. So know that you deserve it, and you're going to pay yourself first. See, if you work all week, and the money comes in, and you give it to everybody else and not yourself, what did you just do? Well, you worked for nothing. You worked for nothing. Do you want to work for nothing? All right, then. You can figure out how to put even a dime, a quarter. You have to build a prosperity consciousness. And in order to build a prosperity consciousness, part of that has to be the idea that you're saving something. It does not have to be a great sum, but you have to do that so that your mind knows that you're serious about money and about saving, even if it's a dollar. Even if it's a dollar. And then you can say, when somebody says, "Are you saving?" You can say, "Yes, I'm saving." You do not have to say, I'm only saving a dollar. Now your mind hears that, doesn't it? Oh, he's saving. Oh, let's show him how to really save. Because what are you going to do? You're going to plug in to the big... Yeah, the big kahuna. You're going to plug into that and get ideas, and you're going to get more money. And people are going to take you to lunch. Well, maybe not. That was not nice.
You can tithe to yourself.
You can tithe to yourself. Okay. So make a plan. A plan on spending. And then don't bend that plan in any way. And the third one. If you have a need, plant a seed. If you have a need, plant a seed. That's the whole idea of the law of the harvest, that it's going to come back to you, that you're going to plant that seed. What does that mean? Well, you want something, and it costs, say, $1,000. Now you're going to plant a seed. Your seed, $1. And then you're going to watch that grow, and you're going to get the $1,000 to buy that, or something else is going to come in to do that for you. You see? Something else is going to come in, but you have to plant that. When the farmer plants a seed in the soil, he goes away. He may nourish it and cultivate it and so forth, but he doesn't do anything, does he? The soil does it all. And that's what you have to know about the big mind, this big universe. You plant something, it's got to grow for you. It's a thing of growth. The universe is a thing of growth. It's a thing of multiplying all the time. But you have to do something about that. And you know, when you plant something, you always get back more than you plant it, don't you? You know, plant a tomato plant. All summer long, you're giving those tomatoes away, aren't you? They just keep coming and coming and coming. But the soil does it. And that's what you're doing with your mind when you're doing a spiritual mind treatment. When you're doing an affirmation, you're sowing a seed that must grow. It must become something. This whole idea is creation. And you're creating money. You're creating everything. So if you have a need, plant a seed. All right. You can take that not with money. You can do that with anything. If you want love, then you plant love. Mm-hmm. You become love. You're saying. Because anything you plant, not only does it multiply, it always produces what you planted. If you plant a tomato seed, you don't get a radish. You get a tomato seed. Does anyone remember the Fantastics? Plant a radish, get a radish every time. I'd sing, but I don't have a good voice. But you have to see that. And you see that in nature. So you have to see that with what you're doing with your own thoughts and so forth. What thoughts are you planting? What affirmations are you planting? What treatments are you planting? Because it's going to come back to you in kind, and it's going to come back to you multiplied. You see, if you plant hate, love's not going to come back to you. Not going to work, is it? So you have to plant what you want. And even when you think you can't do that, you plant that. Does the tomato seed care? No. And you plant the tomato seed, it becomes a tomato. So if you want love, you plant love. If you want prosperity, you plant prosperity. And it will come back to you. Okay? Number four. Never cheat to make ends meet. Never cheat to make ends meet. We live in a society now where we notice that a lot of different corporations and so forth have or had had at their top levels men that cheated to make ends meet. They're not in business. In your own life, don't do that. Don't cheat about anything. Because you have your own integrity always. And you want to like yourself. And you want to love yourself. And you cannot do it if you don't have integrity. And you can build your own integrity. It doesn't matter what happened in the past, people. We're only talking about the present moment. You can make up your mind right here and right now to always be in integrity with yourself and with everybody else. When I was a minister, a young man came to me, and he was married at the time. Yes. And he said to me, "I'm going out with another woman. I'm cheating. What does that make me?" I said, "It makes you a cheater. That's what it makes you. What else is it going to make you? Why come to me with such a question?" I don't know if he wanted me to say, "Well, it's all right. It's not all right," or "We don't look at it that way. It's not a moral issue. It's not." I don't know if it's a moral issue. I don't care when iota about morals. Don't. But if you cheat, you're a cheater. What else can you be? A loving, caring, sharing person? No. You know, I mean, let's use our head. You know, I cheat. What am I? A cheater. You see? Don't cheat. You'll only feel bad about yourself. There's no way you can do that kind of thing and get away with it. Now, if the neighbors don't know and everybody else in town doesn't know, which I doubt that, because that's one of those things that get out right away. But you can't get away with it yourself. You know what you're doing at every moment. You have to be honest with yourselves. We are raising ourselves. We are becoming wonderful human beings. And we do that by staying in integrity, by being honest and sincere with what we're doing and saying. You see? So that's number four. Don't cheat to make ends meet. Number five. Don't put your trust in things that rust. How many people do that? They put their trust in something that rusts, you know. In all of these little things, what is the most important thing to remember? and it's not money. What must always be number one in your life?
Love yourself.
Well, that's true. But that's not what I'm looking for. I will give you a hint. Does anyone read Susie Orman?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does Susie always say?
Me first.
People first.
Oh, yeah.
It's always people first.
But wait, you teach you have to love yourself first.
You have to love yourself first.
So that's
but then
first.
You but instead of loving money, you must learn to love people. You must put people ahead of money. You must put yourself ahead of money. But people like to put money first. When you put money first, you forget about people. When you put money first, you use your credit cards up one side and down the other, which causes distress. Distress in families, distress in relationships. It's a money issue. It's a money problem. In that case, you know, they say, what is it? You know the American Express card. Don't leave home without it. But it's really the American distress card. Don't leave home without it.
That's a super fun service.
Take
Discover card, discover you're in debt.
Yes, discover you're in debt. There you go. So in this case, what most people need is plastic surgery.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to take those credit cards and cut them up. Plastic surgery. You see? And you must get rid of that stress in your life. And if you do have credit cards, learn how to pay for them. I had one come from that automobile club, the 3A's.
AAA.
Today, saying they have just upped my credit limit $10,000 more. I thought, well, that's nice. And then they sent three checks saying you can use these for this, 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 and this. Well, I ripped those checks up immediately. And it says now you, and they were lowering the rate to 1.9% or something so I can, you know, do all.
They're your best friends.
They're your best friends. They're always sending me something saying, you deserve a vacation.
Yeah. You know? With those checks.
Yes, with those checks that they send me. I rip them right up. I throw them right out. Credit is wonderful. And we have credit cards. I carry one with me for emergencies. But I don't pull that out every 2 minutes. In order to build wealth, in order to create money and so forth, ask yourself, what do I really need? What do I need? You know, I laughed many times, and Rhoda loves this story, about when I wanted a new pair of shoes when I was a child, my father would say, don't you have a pair? And I would say, yes. He said, well, you can only wear one pair at a time. And I used to think that was awful. And now that I'm older, I see the wisdom behind that. Why do I need 50 pairs of shoes in my closet? Do I need that many shoes? You know, am I Filipino? You don't. So look around and see, what do I need? And can I live without that? Do I really need that? Do I need 3 cups of coffee at Starbucks every day? You see? You may. If you can afford it, go ahead and do them. But a lot of people spend a great deal of money on little things like that. I call that being nickel and dimed to death. I will not be nickel and dimed to death. You know, well, this would only cost you $9.95 a month. I don't want it. You know, it's only this. Oh, sign up for this. It's only $3. It's only this. You know, my mind can immediately amortize that stuff. I can figure out, well, that's $600 a year right there. You know? But they want to tell you, oh, it's only $10. Don't fall for that. Learn to use your mind. Learn to use the wisdom within you. And you can get yourself out of debt. This young man beside me got himself out, didn't you? Yeah. And if he can do it, it can be done. Are there any questions now? Use those little tools and see if you can't bring more money into your life so that you don't have that stress. You know, that's no way to live. And when you're under financial stress, you can't be loving and caring and sharing because you're constantly thinking of those bills. You're constantly thinking of those bills. So you put yourself in that prison. And then you wonder why life isn't wonderful. That life isn't wonderful. And you can get out from underneath those. There isn't anything that you cannot get out from underneath. And you can sit down and have a plan. And if you're in debt, I don't care if it's $20,000 or $150,000, sit down and say, I can afford to pay $5 a week. I can afford to pay $10 a week. And you do that. And you'll see that other things will happen. You'll be living in integrity. Your mind will settle down. All the stress will go out of your life because you're doing it. And who cares if it takes 150 years? I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in you learning to like yourself. And you don't like yourself when you have all these outstanding bills and you say to yourself, I can't pay this right now. But if you pay a dollar on it, then your mind says, ah, you're paying that off. You're doing something about it. And then you start to feel good about yourself. When you start to feel good about yourself, more money starts to come into your life. More money starts to come into your life. Very hard to go out and work and like your job and all when you're in debt. And what goes through most people's minds when they're out on a job and they're in debt? This job doesn't pay enough. This job doesn't pay enough. Any job you get will not pay enough. Money is never the issue, people. Money is never the issue. It's straightening the whole thing out in your mind. Okay? I have some cards. We didn't do these last week. Oh, this one I just absolutely love. If I did it, I'm doing it again. Living a life is simply the process of removing those barriers to experiencing love. We continue to live the illusions created by preconceptions and biases simply out of habit. Simply out of habit we do that. So see what your preconceptions are and what your biases are and learn to change them. It's the preconceptions and the biases that keep you in prison. We always build our own prison. And we are always our conclusions. We are always our conclusions. I conclude I'm in debt. You're always your conclusions. Don't do that to yourself. I focus on what I love and thus draw it to me. I love money and money loves me. I am a money magnet. Money is always freely circulating in my life and I always have it and I always have a divine surplus. All my bills are paid on or before time. Do yours. Your income is always higher than your outgo. My thoughts are loving and positive. Now, this is old. You can tell that these get old. I know that the divine spirit of God is within me. And this spirit draws out the best in me and also draws the best to me. I have the power to realize my heart's desire. I believe in my own ability to succeed. I believe in my own ability to succeed. The world may look very convincing, but that does not answer the deeper question. Why should you trust any of your senses at all? Why should you trust any of your senses at all? Trust in the universe. Trust in God. Know that this is a supportive universe, a universe that totally loves you, that always wants to give you everything. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. There ends the lesson. Thank you. Thank you.